Thank you, Jessica. Is there any wonder why I'm in love with that woman? My name is Jay Pryor, if you don't know me. Again, I'm a lay member at this congregation, and I also happen to be a life coach, and that's what I do for a living. I have the honor and privilege of getting to coach people to fulfill on their visions and dreams for their life and succeed on their goals. So when we were decided to do a prosperity series here, and we chose this book by Edwin Gaines, and one of the chapters was on goal setting. The other folks were like, hey, Jay, why don't you do the one on goal setting? That makes perfect sense. You're the life coach, right? And initially I thought, yeah, but you know what? That's one area I'm kind of weak in. So I was like, I'm a good coach, but I don't know about that. Well, that was before I read the book. So then I read the book, and I was like, oh, I got this. I know this. This is what I do. And the reason I thought was because anytime you ever go to a goal-setting workshop, they're going to tell you a couple of things that probably most of you already know, right? They're things like write down your goals, read them 3 times every day, those kind of stuff. And for me, I get caught up in the bigger picture, like, you know, get everything out of your way that has you be manifesting glory and success in your life. And I forget about the read them every day kind of part, right? That's not me. I'm not that guy. So at first, I was like, ooh, I don't know about this. And then I read the book. So first of all, I want to reintroduce you to this book that we've been looking at every week for the last 3 weeks. And this is Edwin Gaines' book, The 4 Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And I got to tell you, I have a lot of self-help books coming my way and personal development books coming my way and manifestation books coming my way. And this book is incredible. So first of all, I highly recommend the book. It's very easy to read. She is very fun. She's got a great personality. It comes through in the book. And it's just, I would just highly recommend the book. So I want to back up a little bit to remind you where we've been so far. First, we had Reverend David come, and he talked about forgiveness. And when he spoke about forgiveness, he really talked about clearing that funnel, clearing that channel. And he did a great visual, if you'll remember. He had a funnel up here, and he was talking about how Spirit fills us up with all of the riches that we want, including relationships and people and good things and money and energy and vitality, and all those things represent prosperity and abundance in our lives. And then he held up a heart that was a cardboard heart, and he said, you know, this is your heart, and he crunched up his heart and he stuck it right in that funnel. And it was a great visual to see that whenever you've got something blocking your heart, it can really block your prosperity. When you've got something bunched up that you haven't forgiven, that you're is in the way of yourself or in your life, that it can really, you know, bunch up that funnel of prosperity. So that was the first thing we talked about, was really getting clear and getting free of those things. And then Sharon last week talked about figuring out your divine purpose and really focusing on what you want and knowing what feeds your soul and being able to shift your focus to that and have that be a full expression of you rather than spending your energy on things that may not necessarily call to you. So that was the other piece. And then today I'm going to talk about goal setting, and then next week Reverend Edna is going to talk about tithing. Before I talk about goal setting, in the book she talks about tithing first. And so I want to just take a second to talk about tithing for just 1 minute. I have a tithe check in my pocket. And I want you to know that I came to a prosperity class here in 2008, I believe it was. Was it 2000? Yeah, 2008. And at the time, the tithing for me, the word tithing, shot shivers of Baptist down my spine. It did. I was like, tithing? Seriously? Really? Isn't that for Baptists and stuff? And it just freaked me out. I was like, I'm not going to do that. And then I started to understand the principle of energy and the principle of money being energy and the principle of what I put out in the world comes back to me and how it magnifies itself. It goes out and comes back. And once I started to understand that, once I started to get more and more clear that God is my source and not my job, that all of a sudden I had a new awareness around tithing and I had a new openness. And so I asked, at the time we had Reverend Don Lane here, and I said to Reverend Don, do I have to tithe my, when I was still kind of resistant, I was like, do I have to tithe my net or my gross? He's like, how much prosperity do you want, Jay? I was like, all right. So I reluctantly, but with great faith, wrote a check, that first tithe check, and I will never forget it as long as I live. Because today, I have a check in my pocket that I will give to this church that is around the same amount as that first tithe check was. The difference was that tithe check then was a monthly tithe check. This is a weekly tithe check, okay? So you need to know that almost every week I give a check to this church that is equal to or bigger than the amount that I first very tithe to my first time, okay? And that's how tithing has worked in my life, and so I just wanted to testify because because I think it's important that you know, and it was important for me. You know, we had somebody in that class, when I took the class, we had a lay member of the church also teach it, and it was him and his commitment to tithing and seeing that in his life that made me think, oh, well, if he can do it, maybe I can do it too, right? And so I just wanted to testify for a minute about tithing. And in the book, when she starts talking about goal setting, the first thing she mentions is, now that you have all this prosperity coming towards you because of tithing, then there's the goal setting, right? So she addresses tithing first. We've done it a little backwards. So I at least wanted to start there. So let's talk about goal setting for a minute. First of all, anytime you've heard me speak up here, there is one big thing that I talk about constantly, and that is that every principle that we talk about is all practice, okay? It is like flexing a muscle, right? And if you haven't been to the gym in a long time, you're not going to be able to pick up a very heavy weight, all right? Spiritual principles take practice, just like everything else. And so all the principles of goal setting also take practice. And it's not like you can just one time do it and do it perfectly and it's all going to be great, right? So everything we talk about is practice, doing it over and over and over and over again and getting better about it each time. And then being conscious of your own awareness and results helps me and my clients to move forward and be more powerful around their goal setting. So Edwin Gaines essentially talks about goal setting as an opportunity to get very specific about the ask. So Jesus said, ask and it is given. And basically she talks about, and what we know is that nobody can read your mind. You've got to start being someone who is willing to ask for what you want. And of all the things, and this is a huge lot of stuff in this chapter, right? And I've got 20 minutes. So I'm like, how am I going to get it all in there, right? So the first thing I want to share with you is that she makes a list that is a goal-setting practice, right? And it's a like 1 through 10 list. I'm going to go through the list for you because I want you to have this knowledge as a practice. Like, this is something you could literally go home and start plugging in and putting into practice, and you will start seeing some results. If you don't see results, there's other things we'll work on, which is what I'm going to talk about next. But I at least wanted to give you the 10 steps. So the first step is to write your goals down, right? I always have my clients do that. Write your goals down. Jack Canfield says you're 50% more likely to achieve your goals just because they're written down, even if you just write them down and stick them in a drawer, right? So you're 50% more likely to achieve them just by writing them down. She recommends that you get a notebook and put all your goals in there, and then she chooses 12. She works on 12 goals at a time. So write them down, and then choose a few. She uses 12. Choose the most important ones that you want to start focusing on. Choose those. The next thing is to consider what changes you might need to make to achieve your goals. And this is where I'm going to spend a little bit more time later. Because it's really about, okay, so I want this thing, but then what in me is stopping me from having that already? Like, what do I need to transform within myself for one thing to know that I'm worthy of that for myself? To know myself as someone who can have that, right? Because for myself and in my client's life, one of the things I notice is that that is in the way a lot. It's knowing themselves as someone who is able to have whatever it is that they think they want. And that's where a lot of work is. But she says, be willing and to consider what changes you might need to make to achieve your goals. Then, and that's an ongoing process, be very specific with your goals. Choose a by when, a date. If you want, you know, a specific house or a specific car or something like that, you need to say, and I'm going to have that by Christmas 2014. Right? You want to put a date on it. So then you have a gauge. If you just go, oh, I'm going to have that sometime, willy-nilly, the universe is like, okay, whatever. You know, that doesn't work. Okay? You don't want to give the universe that, you know, just like throw it out there. Right? It doesn't work so well. Give it a date. Now, this is where I fall short often. She says, read these goals 3 times every morning and every night. read these goals 3 times every morning and every night. And I highly recommend that. I just have not been good at that myself, but that's a very good idea. And it keeps it in your consciousness. So you're going to bed every night after reading your goals. You're waking up in the morning reading your goals. So they're constantly in your consciousness, which is what we're all about, right? Imagine yourself achieving your goal. This is something I put my clients on the hook literally to spend time imagining. Like, I literally say, I want you to spend 10 minutes every day imagining. Like, every day, putting yourself in the position of having your goals, of being that person that you say you want to be. I have a client who wants to be a great actor. He wants to be on a television series. So every day I have him imagining being on that TV series, every single day. Like, imagine doing it. Charles Fillmore talks about the power of imagination and is one of our greatest, you know, one of our 12 powers. And I would say it's one of the greatest powers. It creates, your imagination creates. So imagine yourself doing it. Her step number 7 is to act as if. To move through the world as if these things are so. And we'll talk a little bit more about that too. But really, there's a knowing that sometimes we have. You'll say, I want something, and then you can feel whether you really believe you're going to get that or not. And sometimes acting as if helps move that forward, helps move that feeling and that gut, knowing it in your gut, forward a little bit. Step 8 is, and this is interesting because this was different, she says, don't tell others. She says, keep your goals to yourself, especially those big ones that people might laugh at you about or not really give you agreement for or think you can do it. She says, keep those to yourself. And God, right? Right, yourself and God. You can tell God. Right. 9, cross off goals and keep creating. So cross off goals as they fulfill and keep doing this. Have this be an ongoing practice in your life that you start to just flex your muscle, like regularly sit down with crossing off goals, create new goals, cross off goals, create new goals. Constantly have goals in your life that you are working on, that you are creating, that have specific by wins in your life. And then lastly, to remember and keep in mind, this is number 10, that God's law is the law of love. And what God wants for you is for you to be happy. And for you to stay focused on that, if God's law is love and God wants me to be happy, then there is no shame or blame in anything that I might want in my life. And that everything is possible with God. And those are her 10 steps. So now I want to give you my takeaway. Like I said, this is a huge chapter. The first one, and the one I think is the most important, that I work on constantly, and I hope all of you do, but something that we just have to be conscious of, is being conscious. When I give a client an assignment, when in fact this happened recently, I have companies that I go work with every quarter. And it's a great gig. They fly me out, and I do a day-long workshop with the whole company. And then I go home, and they fly me out the next quarter. And each time, I give them what I call my hook list, which is an assignment for them. So I have a company in Duluth, Minnesota that I'm working with. And I fly out there, and I do the first workshop with them. And then I come back the next quarter, and I go through their hook list from the last time, and I say, how many of you fulfilled on these goals? And a few people raise their hands. And then I say, and how many of you went unconscious? And 16 people raise their hands, right? Because as human beings, that's what we do. We go unconscious. We can go to a fabulous seminar where we can learn all kinds of tools and be so inspired. And we walk out the door and we think, wow, I'm going to put this into my life and it's going to be great. And I have 3 days of being on fire. And I tell my friends how great it's going to be. And then a month later, a friend asks me about that. And I go, what? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I got busy and then the kids and then that happened and this happened and blah, blah, blah. And that's called going unconscious, right? We go unconscious. We completely get caught up in our own worlds. And we go unconscious to what we want, to what we want to create, and to what we are creating. So Edwin suggests that we put ourselves on the hook for a 21-day challenge. And I invite you to take this on. So this is what she did. When she was doing her work to get stuff out of the way of what her goals were, she put herself on the hook for 21 days to give up gossip, give up all complaining, give up saying anything negative at all. And literally, specifically, she looked at phrases like, I can't, and I'm afraid of, and I worry that. Things like that, that generate those negative emotions, and she just deleted them. Now, her experience was that when she gave up gossip and complaining, she didn't have a lot to say. so she had to find things to say, which may be your experience. I don't know. But I know that it's a challenge to come at life with zero complaint, to come at life with always looking at, really speaking and living into the vision that you want to have for your life. And to do it for 21 days turns it into a habit. And so she did it for 21 days, and then she challenged herself to do it another 21 days, and I think that's pretty much how Edwin lives. I know that that's a commitment of mine, and at the same time, I can catch myself, you know, saying stuff all the time that isn't exactly serving me or isn't lending myself to the future. One of my clients recently, in a workshop I was doing called Your Sentence, noticed that she said, "I worry all the time." And she said, "Oh, I worry about this and I worry about that." And she's even said, "You know, I even say I'm a worrywart. And sometimes I say to myself, what was I worrying about? I forgot. And I'll go back and worry about that." So I challenged her to give that up. And I'm excited to see where she is next quarter. I'll find out in October. But I challenged her to give that up. And that every time that she has catches herself saying, "I worry," to create something else, an affirmation that she can believe. You guys know me well enough by now to know that I believe powerfully in affirmations, but I also believe that you have to believe the affirmations that you're speaking. I don't believe that you can go from "I hate myself" to "I love myself and all is well," because you have to deal with your BS, your belief system, right? You have to deal with it. So if you don't believe it, it's BS, right? So she was willing to say, give up saying, "I'm a worrywart," or "I worry," or all of that, and just start saying, "I am always taken care of." Because her experience in her life is that she's always been taken care of, and she can believe that, right? That's true for her. So I'm excited to see if that works for her. I encourage you, as you're giving up, it's one thing to give up your complaining and gossiping and everything else. What really works for me and what works for my clients is I have them create an anchor, what I call an anchor phrase, and it's an affirmation, basically. But it's an affirmation that they can believe that is something towards these goals that you're creating. Something, and usually when I first start working with somebody, it's something like, "I'm on the right path." Because at least they've hired a coach now, they're taking a step in a direction towards their goals, towards their dreams, and they're on the right path. So usually they can buy that for themselves, right? They can't believe, "I'm going to be successful and wildly rich," right? That just doesn't, it's BS. So they have to come up with an anchor phrase that is something like, "I'm on the right path." So I encourage you to come up with an affirmation that works for you, that anytime you catch yourself saying things like, "I'm afraid," or "I worry that," or "I can't do it," or anything like that, you go, "Nope, not allowed to say that." And go back to your anchor affirmation, which is, "I'm on the right path," or "I'm leading a fulfilled life." Whatever it is that works for you, that has you know that you're on a path, and by golly, you're going to create these goals. All right, so that's the first one. The second takeaway I have is, and this is something I noticed for myself in my life, and I really started having, it's interesting for me because basically, as in all things, life is consciousness, right? When I become conscious of something that works for me, I start noticing that, oh, that's also stuff that my clients are all dealing with. It becomes into my consciousness. So about a year or so ago, I realized that one of the most important things for me to do was to stop apologizing for what I want and to start figuring out what I want out of my life and be clear about what I want out of my life. And I noticed that I have a lot of clients, and one of the things that they're up against is not really knowing what they want. They don't even know what they want to have for dinner, let alone what they really want to create in their life, right? So Jack Canfield, who is one of my favorite coaches, he has a book called The Success Principles that I highly recommend. Jack Canfield says that it takes practice to become somebody that knows what they want. And Jack recommends that you start practicing knowing what you want by doing gut checks with yourself on everything, right? So somebody says, "What do you want to have for dinner?" And rather than letting yourself say, "I don't know," or "I don't care," you do a gut check and you go, "What do I want to have for dinner?" And you let yourself say yes and follow that intuition. You can start doing that with dinner. Then you work up to, "What car do I want to drive?" "What house do I want to live in?" "What town do I want to live in?" "What do I want my life to look like?" Right? And start to become somebody who knows what you want and who asks for what you want with no apology. Now, Edwin addresses this, and she's just great at addressing this. I so recommend this book, and I recommend the class that Sharon's teaching because you'll get more saturated in the book. But she talks about, she has a chapter on, what about being so materialistic? So she says, you know, people have challenged me to say, well, why don't you want more love in your life? Or why don't you want more peace in your life? Things like that. Because aren't those the things we're supposed to want? Aren't those the spiritual gifts that we're supposed to be seeking? Well, Edwin makes a very good point. You already have all that. You have it within you. It's who you are. You are love. You are peace. You are the wave that is the ocean that is God. God is expressing itself as you. So you can't get more love. You can be more present to the love you already have, but you can't get more of it because it's all you. It's all who you are. And so those things that you want that are material things are an expression of God expressing itself through you. And there's nothing to be afraid of around that. There's nothing to feel guilty for around that. When you want something, let yourself want it. She has a great story in the book about a woman who in her class decided that she should ask for more love in her life. And so very specifically, she put down that she was going to have more love in her life. And she got home and somebody gave her a pregnant dog. Yeah. She got more love in her life. A lot of little puppies. Not what she wanted, necessarily, but she got more love in her life, right? So I encourage you to really, you know, flex your muscle. Again, it takes flexing that muscle, and it takes giving up making yourself wrong, because, see, we're professionals at that, right? We can beat ourselves up and make ourselves wrong for every little tiny thing that we do. And it's the muscle that is, it's back to that forgiveness piece. Forgiveness is also a muscle, and part of the muscle of forgiveness is forgiving myself constantly. Right? Constantly forgiving myself. And coming at what you want with no apology is a powerful, powerful opportunity for you to learn to forgive yourself for all that stuff. There's nothing to forgive, really. It's about focusing on being clear about what you want. And lastly, the piece that I take away from this is what she calls directed faith. And she speaks about how she got this. It's a quote from Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, which I'm sure most of you know, and if you don't, go find it. Napoleon Hill talks about directed faith. And essentially what directed faith is again, this is a muscle to flex, but it's about getting to that place of knowing, really knowing that what you want is already yours. It's already yours. And surely, and I hope you have, had times in your life where you've had that happen to you, where you've had a something come into your consciousness that you want, and you knew it was yours before it got out of your mouth. Like you said, I want that, and you knew it was yours. And I hope you've had that experience. Here's an example from my life. At the time, and this was back in 2008 when I was taking that prosperity class, it came over me that I knew I needed to get a job. I didn't want to get a job. I had a job that was my own business, but it came to me that in order to be in integrity, and that's another thing, is to live in integrity with what I think I know myself and for my family, I need to get a full-time job for right now. So here's what it came to me all at once, and I was very, very specific, and that's another thing about goals. You want to be very specific. So here's what I said. I'm going to get a job. I'm only going to do that job for 1 year, period. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to do it for 1 year. That job is going to boost my own business into a whole new level. It's going to launch me into a whole new level in my own business. Whatever job title it is, whatever it is, it's going to launch me into a whole new level of business, and I'm only going to have to do it for a year, and it's not going to be a big deal. Now, this is in 2008 when there were no jobs, right? And then literally people told me I was crazy. I should have kept it to myself. But I went and told people, I'm going to go get a job. They're like, you're crazy. You're not going to find a job. These my friends have been unemployed for a year and a half, right? I knew it was mine. The minute I had that revelation, I had a knowing that this was going to happen, and I was very specific. Within 30 days, I had a job as a business consultant, going into businesses, doing kind of the stuff that I'm doing now, personal development and training, right? Within a year of working that job and working those networks, I landed a contract with my own business, making the exact same amount of money as that full-time job, and it was about 10 hours worth of work a week. Okay, 1 year. I was able to do it. Now, I missed my goal of quitting that job by 6 weeks. So I said I'd only do it for a year. I did it for a year and 6 weeks. That was it. Okay, so that's part of the point of being specific about when you're going to do it. Like, you either hit the goal or you barely miss it, but who cares? You're close, right? Now, I had a knowing come over me about that. You could not have told me that wasn't going to happen. I don't care what. I mean, I'd have been like, I don't care what you say. That's happening. That's happening. I hope that you've had that experience in your life, because I want you to, every time you have that experience, to remember what it feels like, because that's the knowing that when you can completely let go, that's of the allowing that just allow, it's just done. It's done in your mind. It's done in your consciousness. It's done everywhere, and it will manifest. It's done. When you have, oh, please help, please, man, that's not happening. Like, that is the wrong level of energy you want to come at with your goals. You want to be able to set a goal and then live into that world of it's already done. And what she says is live in expectation. She tells a story about her little brother who knew, he knew Santa was going to bring him a pony. And he ended up getting his pony. It's a crazy story. Like, he ended up getting his pony. So that kid knew it was coming. He had that knowing that I had that day of that job. And that I'm sure some of you have had that experience. But you want to practice in the silence, being in spirit, knowing that that's coming, having that, knowing that it belongs to you and knowing that it's yours. And since we're at that time of knowing, let's take a minute to get comfortable and go into meditation with that idea.